I just ate like a giant Hershey bar.
Nice.
I'm going to be up till like 2 in the morning now.
This is episode 151 on February 25th, 2016.
Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. And we have us another week, another episode.
Another episode where I didn't get my name wrong in the beginning. I always feel like that might be a possibility.
I've heard it where guys have, announced. Wait, did Mark or you on a show real early on, like, flip names around? I want to say that was a possibility.
It's like a jokey kind of thing, maybe.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, okay. So I one episode, I want to say, it might have been the first one that I introduced because Mark was sick, and I think I said, and I'm Mark Sadowski, and then we all went through and just kind of played along with it. I don't know. We're getting off on a tangent, but how was your week? What'd you do?
What did I do? Well, that is a very good question. I really didn't do a whole lot, to tell you the truth. Not like last week or anything. Really just more exploring around my area after work, looking for more stuff to take pictures of.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, I've been finding some interesting landscapes and like some interesting places. And I think I've done more photography this past winter so far than I have in like any previous winter, really.
Nice.
Winter's kind of like my I'm not inspired time.
Right.
You know, especially like as someone who primarily likes to shoot like nature and landscapes, I just don't really care to photograph mud and sticks. And this year has been hard because it hasn't really snowed much. But I've just been finding, just different stuff, you know, the light trails and abandoned buildings and just, you know, I've just been doing some things that are kind of outside my normal thing, and I've been having a good time doing it.
Good. Yeah, I think you guys have been, like, at the top of the vortex of winter, and where it's just passing you guys by.
It's been weird. It's a lot of up and down weather here.
Yeah, I went out last night, and it was, you know, kind of the first night I've been able to kind of get out and do things. Kids have been sick, and so it's hard for me to leave my wife with the children and say good luck after, you know, being gone all day for work. And so I was able to go out. The only issue that I had, so I was prepared, and I had my tripod, I had my Joby grip, and I was going to set up my tripod and get some light trails. And I also had my remote shutter. So I was ready to go. I was like, we're going to do this. Except I had 30 to 40 mile an hour gusts of wind. And I wasn't able to do any shooting outside of the of my vehicle. So I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I need to get some light trails. You know, this is our second week. We've been trying to get it going. And so I just took some shots around a construction area. There's a new a new what's it called? Restaurant that's being built in an old pump house. So there was a factory here in Rock Hill called Celanese, and they had built a pump house next to the river that would pump millions of gallons of water if needed to this textile plant. And it sat there for years after the plant was gone. And now there's this whole community there, and these guys had a bright idea. Let's build a restaurant right there on the river, and we'll use this old pump house. So I took some shots of the pump house. I can't wait for it to be completely done, because I want to do some before and afters. I had years ago gone and taken pictures of the old pump house the way it was, broken glass and everything. And now it's a totally different look, and I want to be able to have some before and afters. So one of these days when they finally open, which should hopefully be in a couple weeks, I'll go over during the day and get some shots and then do a side-by-side comparison. But I decided, I was like, all right, I need to get some light trails. So what am I going to do? So I drove towards town, and the only place that I could set up my phone was in my Jeep, and I had to press my my iPhone up against the windshield because the Jeep's pretty steady. But even with you know, pressing it up against the windshield, doing everything I can to keep it from moving, those 30 to 40 mile an hour gusts would rock the Jeep a little, and so it would end up, you know, kind of messing with the images. So I'm going to go back and do this again on another night, but I'll just post it in our Facebook group, not in our challenge page, and try to get some other shots. But it was rough. Weather's been rainy, and kids have been sick, so it puts a damper on my going out and doing photography. But was it last Saturday, I took my son, and I think I mentioned this on the last show, but I took my son to Lego Fest, and had an okay time.
You did, or your son did?
I think we both had an okay time. There was a ton of people, and I'll post a picture of the crowd. But you know, I got some shots. It was going from station to station or different. To look at different things was a little challenging. There was just a lot of people, and so it was a little overwhelming. But it's neat to see what they can do with Legos, especially making life-size figurines out of like Star Wars characters, completely with Legos. And you know, these guys, I have to say, have a dream job, but I think they're kind of psychotic, because it takes a lot of patience and a lot of creativity to create these things, and I don't think they're human. So, but it was fun. We had a good time. We didn't stay the full 4 hours. We ended up leaving a couple hours before the end, and getting home and, you know, kind of relaxing. But it was you know, I did a little bit of photography there too.
Cool.
Yeah. So
you'll have to share some of it.
Yeah, I'm going to post some after I get done with the show tonight. And oh yeah, Greg says, yeah, it's a good way to get sick. I was thinking about that. When I got there, I was like, ah, son of a gun. This is going to be, you know, this is like convention petri dish. Not only do you have a place full of children, but you have Legos that all the kids are going to be touching. And I'm like, ah, So it was like, all right, son, let's wash your hands. Keep washing.
But so that's actually not what Greg was referring to, but Dave has a comment that's more along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He says, so Joe, everything wasn't awesome.
I have to say, if they gave us a chance to kind of go through where, you know, it was, I would say, a third to a quarter of the crowd, I would say it'd be a whole lot of fun. But it was totally sold out, and the place was just a zoo. But, you know, I think I looked at my son. I said, how are you doing? He's like, I'm good. And said, are you having fun? He goes, mm-hmm. I'm like, do you want to go home? He goes, yep. So I was like, all right, let's go. And, you know, I have to say it was a good experience, but I think I'll leave the experience to other people who haven't experienced it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's see here. I think we should go ahead and jump into our focus point.
Let's do it.
Focus point.
All right. So today we had a couple things we were deciding on talking about. And one of them, I have to say, has to do with my experiences from last night. And I'm gonna say, you know, it sounds like something we've talked about before. So if it is, we apologize. But I still think it's a good topic. And that is, what do you do when you, everything doesn't go according to plan? A lot of times we say, oh, I'm going to go out. We're going to photograph, you know, this area. It could be a waterfall. It could be nature. It could be cars. It could be at the Lego Fest. You're, oh, I'm going to get these great photos, except everybody's standing in the way. Or it could be overcast, or it's raining, or you have 30 to 40 mile an hour gusts that'll blow your tripod over, and you're unstable. You can't handhold and get the shot. What do you do? And so I thought it would be a good topic to kind of bounce some ideas off and see what Matt and I come up with, and then also maybe what the chat room might throw out there too. So we'll set up the scenario like I had last night. I went out full intentions of getting some awesome light trails, and I couldn't do it. I was stuck. I couldn't set up a tripod. The wind would have just blown my phone and the tripod over. Any little gust of wind would create motion with the camera and would mess up the light trails. Even when I used the Jeep, which is pretty solid, you know, it's pretty tough to rock that thing myself, I was still getting rocking motion from the wind, because it is has a larger surface area, and the wind's pretty strong. So, you know, I tried my best. I took multiple attempts at getting some light trails, but I still saw the anomalies, which were motion from my camera moving, either by my hand or with the Jeep rocking a little bit. So what do you do? And do you have a backup plan? Or do you call it a day? So I thought it would be a good topic for us to bring up. What do you say, Matt?
Yeah, it is a good topic. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of different ways to kind of treat the situation and the scenario. I think you just have to kind of consider all the factors that go into it. Like in your case, it sounds like last night was the only time you had, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that. Because the most obvious thing would be, check the weather, and if you see it's going to be windy like that, then you could just kind of plan to do it another time. But if that's the only time you have, then I guess you have to figure out, how to work with that situation. Maybe deciding to take photos that kind of go in a different direction than, what you were intending to do. Like maybe one thing that comes to mind is maybe instead of putting your phone on a tripod and doing a light trail, you could still use your slow shutter cam app, but maybe pan your phone with the traffic. So, you might get a car like relatively sharp, but you'll still have light trails and motion blur and stuff like that. So that's something that one way to go about it. And then, some other ways to go about it. I know you said that, the Jeep was rocking in the wind, but you could find a building to kind of hide up against, that would block the wind. Just a lot of different things you could do. But I know like when you're, And this happens to me definitely, when you have an idea in your head, which it sounds like you probably did, sometimes it's really hard to deviate from that plan, no matter what the conditions or the circumstances are.
Yeah.
And if you can't, like I do that. I have an idea, and then I end up with like a one-track mind. And and I get frustrated if I can't, if I can't achieve what I set out to achieve, and I can't see, the other options,
Right.
It's like, if I can't take this one picture, then I'm not taking any pictures, and that's something that I've been working on for a long time, to try to get out of that kind of mindset and to just, even though I have an idea, to still go into every opportunity that I have to photograph with an open mind and just kind of see what comes my way.
Yeah. Yeah. It is I'm taking my iPhone and I'm going home type thing. But I want to say probably about 30% of the time, it doesn't really go as planned. And even on a good weather day, in our mind's eye, we have the perfect scenario to get the perfect shot. But, you don't, sometimes crowds get in the way. I would have loved to have taken shots at the Lego Fest of all the different the characters, the different animals. They had a Lightning McQueen car. I would have loved to take in all those images without people around them, but that's impossible. The place was packed. It was just enough just to get my son in the picture and get a shot with him next to something that was, more challenging, let alone removing the crowd altogether.
Yeah, and those are situations where you kind of have to decide, all right, do I just want a picture of, the Lego statues to just kind of look back on someday and remember that I was there and I saw this thing? Or do I really want to only come away with like this, perfect artistic shot? And I'm going to be in that same boat probably next weekend when I go to the Cleveland Auto Show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not like a super duper car aficionado, but I like cars, and I like to take pictures of cars, especially in the summertime. They have a lot of
like outdoor car shows.
Yeah, I'm spaced on drive-ins.
Cool.
You know, where people just come and bring their classic cars to a particular location, they hang out or whatever. And like last summer, I was doing a lot of pictures at those kind of events, and they're not typically like super duper crowded, so you can kind of like hang out for 2 minutes, and you know, you'll have a period of time where no one's around the car that you want to photograph. But at something like an auto show, you know, it's indoors, it's a huge event. You know, you have all the different automotive companies showing off their upcoming vehicles, you know, for the next model year and everything. And then you got, you know, concept cars and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, when you got a really cool car, like last year was the Ford GT, was like one of the really super cool cars at the Cleveland Auto Show. And that was impossible to get a picture of it without having a whole crowd of people in the background.
Right.
You know, so that's when you kind of get creative with the apps, and you know, now we have lots of control with being able to blur people out. You know, there's so many apps now that you can do that. When you got Snapseed and Nlight and spacing on them, but you know, tons of different apps. There's even a new app that's actually called Blur.
Oh yeah. Were you thinking of Tadaya SLR?
Or actually, no, it's not called Blur. It's called Defocus.
Oh, cool.
It's a new app. It just came out recently, like a few months ago, I guess. When it first came out, all it actually did was defocus your image, the entire image. And I really couldn't figure out like what the point of it was. And, you know, reading the reviews of it, a lot of people are like, you know, what in the world is this? It's what's the point of this? Why would I want to defocus my whole entire image? So they just had an update just like a week ago, where now you can, you know, you could paint the effect in and get it a little bit more precise, you know, so your subject can be sharp and you could defocus the background or whatever. But, you know, in those kind of crowded situations, that's certainly a good option.
Yeah. Tadaya SLR is one that I go to.
Yep. That's an extremely good one. And, another one that is one of my favorites is After Focus, which I think you mentioned. Did you?
No, I didn't. But thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah, After Focus is very similar to Tada SLR. I think it does a really good job also.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me pull from the chat channel here. Greg said, set the tripod. I guess he was referencing to if the weather's bad and you're not able to get shots of light trails, say outside, he said, set the tripod up so the phone can see out the front window. Oh, he's talking about in a vehicle, and drive around while taking some long exposures. The light trails from the street lights and passing cars will make some good stuff. Yes. But I would recommend doing that from the passenger seat too.
he has, he posted a link to an example on Flickr.
Oh, sweet.
And, you know, it kind of looks like the camera is set up like maybe on a tripod or something, like in this kind of on the center console.
Okay.
Because it's pretty much perfectly centered, and it's just super cool looking. The light trails outside the windshield are really cool, and it was shot with like a wide angle lens, so you could kind of see the interior of the car, and it's pretty neat.
Nice.
It's definitely a good idea.
Yeah.
As long as you do it safely.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony mentioned about, you know, what his reaction is. He says, with my ADD, ADHD, I can get frustrated if things don't go my way or if roadblocks arise. Yeah. I I'm pretty laid back, but if I make the effort and I don't get the results that I'm looking for, I get disappointed. I do. And sometimes I remember when I first got my digital SLR, and I would go out, I had these grand ideas, and I was going to make inroads in being the greatest photographer out there. And it was a humbling experience because there was a lot of things that I didn't know. And how do you get the blurry background? Oh, yeah, I found out later I had to open up the aperture to get a shallower depth of field. We get these great ideas. We see these images that are put out there by these people that have made mistakes along the way. They've made the same mistakes we've made, but they only show the stuff that they've been successful with. So we have this idea, oh, I'm going to be able to do that without making any mistakes. But it takes roadblocks. It takes things not going as planned for us to go, okay, next time I'll have this ready. Or next time I'll have a plan B and I will go to a different location. Because let's say you have a model that you're going to shoot in a particular location. You know the location's beautiful. You know that you've seen some very beautiful shots at that location, but it's closed. Or the clouds roll in and it starts raining. You know, things can sometimes be out of our control. So, you know, have a backup plan. Is there another location that's close by that you can take pictures at? Maybe the rain's fine. You just have fun with it. It just depends on your outlook and how you're going to be able to relate or roll with the different things that arise when you're out shooting.
Yeah, that definitely. It's always good to kind of keep some options open and be able to change your plans at maybe a moment's notice if needed. I mean, every day I'm kind of keeping an eye on what's going on with like the sun and the clouds and the weather in general to kind of figure out like, is it going to be an epic sunset, or, you know, maybe I should head over to a building that I saw, you know, a few days prior that, you know, when I had visited previously, I thought, well, this is kind of a bland picture, but throw a epic sky in there and it'll suddenly be pretty cool and pretty interesting. You know, so I'm always kind of trying to do stuff like that. And, you know, I do have a lot of planned outings, especially in the fall. You know, I have lots of locations I want to go because of the colors and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was lucky this past autumn that a lot of the outings I did worked out for me. But more often than not, I think I have the most success when I go out with absolutely no plan. You know, like yesterday, for instance, after work, I had like an hour or so to kill after work before I had to go get my son from daycare. And so I just drove on some roads I'd never been on before just to kind of see what was back them and, you know, what was I going to see? And I came home with a few photos that I really, really like.
Was that one image with the tree out in the field? Was that one of them?
That was one of them.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, now granted, there was a lot of filters and manipulation going on.
Doesn't
also
matter.
But, you know, you gotta start somewhere, you know? I mean, just the original picture is still pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just felt like it needed a little spice to it, though. But, yeah, you just never know what's going to happen when you go out on a little adventure like that. And it was cool because, it was just an hour, and I found some trails along the river that I didn't know existed, and I found a bridge that was put in place of an old aqueduct on the Ohio Erie Canal, which I thought was pretty cool. And then it rained all day yesterday, so the river was practically flooding. So that was kind of pretty. That was kind of neat. And I don't know, it was a lot of cool stuff. You just never know. I didn't have any plans of anything to shoot. It was just kind of like, well, let's just go see what we see.
Yeah,
maybe we'll see something cool. And if we don't, whatever. No harm, no foul.
Dave said, let me get this right, because he says, change your expectations. As hard as it is to hear, he said, be happy with the shots you can get and not upset of the shots you can't get. That is like going with your don't have, sometimes going out without a plan frees you from the expectations that you're placing upon yourself to set yourself up for failure. And a lot of times too, we need to fail, because it's the failures that we recognize what we like and what we don't like. If there's a, if we go out to, try to succeed, and all we do is fail, and we don't learn from that failure, a lot of people, they give up and they say, I guess I'm not good at this. I can't do it. And like I mentioned before, photographers show their best work. The garbage that you create, the stuff that's not presentable, but you don't know the unpresentable stuff that I make, because I don't show it. I have thousands upon thousands of images that'll never see the light of day, because they're to me they're not really meant to go for everybody to see. And we get focused on the successful images. We get focused on the photographers that are putting out this beautiful work. But I guarantee you, they have thousands upon thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of images that they will never ever show you, because to them, they're not worthy to be put out.
Yeah, it's true. That is a true, true, true story. Basically, yesterday I came home with, I don't know how many pictures I took. I took probably a couple dozen pictures, and I have a few that I will end up sharing. But if I had only come home with one, I would have been happy with that.
Yeah, Greg. Yeah, absolutely. Greg just posted, the first 10,000 photographs are your worst. And he said, Henri Cartier-Bresson.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, I think Henri has probably had a notion, sort of like, how do you become good at something, or how do you consider yourself a professional? It's usually about 10,000 hours of doing something. Is that a correct assumption?
And yeah, it's something to that effect. Yeah,
it's about 5 years worth of work. You could be brand new at this. You could be, you can go out right now and buy the best gear you can. You may get a couple good shots, but I think there's a lot of people that go out, they buy the best gear and they fail because, they placed the expectations upon themselves to be able to get the best shots right away because they have the best gear. Whereas you can take a seasoned photographer, hand him an iPhone, and he will create images that will go into National Geographic or you know, win awards in a contest, because they have the eye, they have the experience behind them and the failures to know what is a good image and what isn't. So, you know, take the shot, be disappointed, but look at what you don't like and try not to do it next time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and there's always next time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, I'm going to go out again one of these nights and do some more light trails now that the that storm has passed. And I'm going to try to recreate the same shot that I got from last night. I found an intersection. It's a five-way intersection, and there's a church on the corner, and I was facing the church, and so I had, you know, four or five different directional light trails that were intersecting, and I'm going to go out and use the tripod and get in front of the pole, because I was sitting in my Jeep and I didn't want to make a spectacle of myself by parking the Jeep somewhere towards the middle of the intersection. It would have been fun, but I don't think people would have liked it very much.
No, probably not. But maybe you could have gotten some interesting pictures of those interactions.
Yeah. What not to do. So anything else you want to bring up?
No, I mean, just keep going out and shooting.
That's right.
All right. All you can do.
Let's go ahead and move ourselves into post pick of the week. Speaking of light trails, this was an interesting challenge. I think this was probably one of the lowest participated challenges that we've done.
I'm gonna say this is probably a hard one, maybe for a lot of people. Because one, I think, you know what I think the hang up is, really? I think that, you know, everyone's got the iPhone, everyone's got the apps probably that would allow this type of shot, but not everybody with an iPhone has a tripod.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, a way to keep the phone stabilized might have been the hang up. Not real sure. That's just my guess. And I have no room to criticize the lack of participation, because I seem to have done all my light trail photography like two, 3 weeks ago, and I didn't post one to this challenge. So shame on me as well. But we did have a few submissions, and this week I'm going to give the win to, excuse me if I mispronounce this, but Ithalu Flor Chiquita. She has a photo, looks like maybe she was on a bridge over a freeway in Los Angeles or somewhere near Los Angeles. So she's captured the car headlights both coming towards her and going away.
Yep.
It's evident from this photo that there is a lot of traffic.
LA is very notorious for that.
Yeah, I've heard that. But in any case, one of the things I really like about this is, a lot of people, when they think light trails, they think, okay, well, if cars have their lights on, then it's got to be dark out, and they'll go and they'll take pictures when it's pitch black out, and really the only thing you see is the light trails and not really much else. But she did her photo at sunset, which, yes, in my opinion, is the perfect time to do this type of photography, because like not only do you get the light trails, but you get the nice color in the sky, which her sky has incredible color, and you can still make out a lot of the details. You could see the freeway signs pretty clearly, and you could make out, some other details along the sides of the highway and everything. So I think this was a very well done light trail shot.
Absolutely. It's I wanted to get a shot like that because we have the I-77 interstate that runs through Rock Hill. But that wind, I would hate to see my tripod and my phone fly off the freeway the overpass sandbag. What's that?
Yeah, sandbag.
Yeah. There's going to be a little some things I'm going to do differently, but yeah, awesome. Awesome image. I do love the contrast between the taillights and the headlights. You can even see, I think, some airplane lights in the sky. I think there's some trail of lights there also. Sometimes there are going to be other things that will creep into the image and make for an interesting effect. I highly recommend everybody get the Slow Shutter Cam app. That's, I think, the one that we use for the light trails, and it is a awesome app, not only for light trails, but for motion and for doing long exposures. And actually, I have to say, it doesn't take very long to get a good exposure at night with that app. It's pretty sensitive. But you can dial back the sensitivity. There's a bulb mode, so you can start it and then stop it whenever you want. It is a very, very good app.
Yes. Yep. Can't say enough good things about that app. And another one I've been playing with a little bit lately is called Nightcap Pro.
Ooh. I need to check that one out. Nightcap Pro. How much does that one cost?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have the app store up in front of me, but I think from maybe for the next few weeks we need to come up with some easier challenges.
Yes, absolutely. So maybe speaking of
some things that don't require a tripod.
Yeah.
Or really any special gear at all.
Let's see here. There was a suggestion by Greg, and I believe it was Still Life. Which I think...
I like it. I can do that.
Yeah, I think that is a safe one. If you don't know what still life is, look it up on the internet, get some good ideas, and go for it. It's very simple. It can, most people, if they're creative enough, have something that is still life already set up in their home. So, you know, just take a look and see the different examples and give it a try. I think we're going to get a lot more participation out of this. So,
yeah, I'm excited about this. The wheels are already turning. I've been thinking about a lot of different ways to, a lot of different things to do, actually.
Nice. Well, congratulations, Ithalu, on your post pick of the week. If you guys want to submit an image for post pick of the week, go on to Facebook and you will find pinned to the top of the of our Facebook group the post pick, the weekly photo challenge, and submit your image into the comments and take a look at everybody else's submissions. You will be thoroughly amazed and jealous, as I am, of all the awesome images that are awesome images that our listeners are posting. So, cool deal. Oh, Ithalu is actually in the chat.
She popped into the chat. Nice.
Yeah, congratulations. All right. Well, Matt, is there anything else that you want to bring up? Oh, how's the Flickr group going?
Funny you should ask. That's what I was going to bring up.
Woohoo!
All right. So we are 1 week into the new Tiny Shutter Flickr group, and we have 21 members, and those 21 members have submitted 71 photos so far. So I would say we're off to a good start. And the photos really run the gamut, too. I mean, there's architecture, there's landscapes, there's like kind of like crazy artistic stuff. A lot of different types of photos have already been submitted, so that's pretty cool. And we're starting to get some discussions going. That's a little slow, but I think that's going to take off here in the next few weeks as we get some more people into the group. But definitely a lot of familiar faces right now.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say one other thing that I kind of corrected myself in the last podcast, but when we first started talking about this, I said, if you want to join the group, I actually have to send you an invitation. That's actually not true. I think if you find the group, it's flickr.com/groups/tinyshutter. That will get you to the group. And there is a little button up in the top banner that says join group. You click that and I'll see it usually in a few hours and I'll approve you to join.
Yay. Yeah, it's there in plain sight. All you have to do is press the button.
Yes. Yes. Please come to Flickr and press the button.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to peruse the Flickr group and see some nice images, and I'm going to start uploading some images too and add it to the group. So
great.
I awesome. Really enjoy on Facebook everybody's images that they're posting, whether it's the weekly photo challenge or whatever they are doing themselves personally. We get some very nice submissions, and they're a joy to look at. And I have to say, you know, I've said this before, I really appreciate everybody participating, who is participating, because it warms my heart to know that You guys listen to the show, but also, even better, we get to interact with you guys and be able to see some beautiful images that you're creating. Whether you have an iPhone or you're an Android user or you have a Windows phone, whatever tiny shutter you may have, there are some awesome images that are being posted every day. So if you haven't joined us, you know, by all means, ask to join and we'll approve it. I've had a lot of people ask to join the Facebook group. I see the emails of the people who are asking to join the Flickr group. So, it's every day we're getting new and more and more people that are coming in and they're excited. They are ready to show off the images that they're getting. And I imagine they are learning a lot too. So don't hesitate.
And one other thing that you just kind of reminded me of, and this is something that you mentioned last week, is that, not everyone's on Facebook. So this is a good way for,
yes,
you know, those people to connect. And I actually did get a couple people that messaged me or emailed me this week and said they wanted to join the group and they are not on Facebook.
Yes.
So I was like, sweet. Good. I'm glad we finally created a way for the non-Facebook people to show off their images.
Yep. So, since that's the case, I think what we need to do is have a submission place for weekly photo challenge, both on Facebook and on Flickr. So each week after the show, we will post a thread on the Facebook group and the Flickr group for people to submit images to for the weekly photo challenge. How's that, Matt?
Yep. I'm going to say we'll start that next week. Let me figure out exactly how to do that.
Oh, okay. We will try to get that figured out shortly. I think we could probably do it before next week, but it'll take us poking around at Flickr to make sure we can do it in a way where images don't get lost in the shuffle. And I think it's possible. I think we can do it, but it'll take a little getting used to. But if you want to post in both, by all means, post in both. If you only want to do Facebook, that's all right. If you only want to do Flickr, that's all right also. Just make sure that you participate because you never know. You may think, oh, this is an okay image. And we're like, oh, my word, I just love that image. I think that needs to be post pick of the week. And we'll go from there. So... And if you're not listening to us live, if you're not joining the chat room, you're missing out too, because they have conversations that are going on while the show's going, and sometimes they talk about me, but that's all right. No, that's cool. All right, anything else you want to bring up?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, let's do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, Twitter, and Flickr at M. Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find me on Facebook in the group, and you can also follow me on Flickr. I don't know what my username is because I probably have that really strange numerals and alphabetical mixture still. I got to figure out how to change that. So find me on the Flickr group, and you can follow me there. If you want to find any of the show notes, all the apps that we mentioned will be in the show notes. So if you hear it and you go, oh, what is it? Just take a look. You can find the show notes, the links to the groups, the YouTube channel, and our email address, which is tinyshutter@gmail.com. You can find that all on tinyshutter.com. Go there. You'll find the other episodes and the show notes for those episodes also. All right. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we covered a lot.
All right, Matt, I will talk to you next week.
I'll be here.
All right. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
And this one too.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Yeah, movie-making photography right there. It's garbage. I love it.